Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. School security encompasses a variety of practices and procedures to combat threats to people and property in educational environments and promote school safety. Schools are public places at risk from invasion from outside as well as attacks from students or faculty. Students from Sale High School are here to join me. I always welcome them. I'm always glad to have them. I welcome Jude Countryman. Jude is a junior at Sale. He's an International Honor Society, Brain Bowl, Sale Video Club, and SGA.
Hi, nice to be here.
And I'm glad to have you. And Devin Doyle. Devin is a real trooper. He's been around a long time. I'm going to miss him. He's a senior this year, and he's going to be graduating. But his thing is history and computers.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Hannah Biggs, she's a junior. I got her for a little bit longer. Music, sociology, fashion, and writing.
Hi.
And Kamaria Brantley, glad to have her. She's in the 10th grade, and music and art and fashion are her thing.
Hi.
Well, welcome all of you to 411 Teen. It's the first time back since school has started, and I'm always excited and glad to talk with you, hear your perspectives. When I say school security, what does that mean to you? When I say we're going to talk about school security and school safety, what is conjured up in your mind? And I'm looking at you, Kamaria, so I'll start with you.
Probably since the timer, and I feel like probably be like school shootings would mm-hmm. be the first mm-hmm. thing that pops in my mind, mm-hmm. just because that's been really controversial recently and been happening a lot.
A lot. Kind of. Right. Yeah. Well, and mm-hmm. that makes sense. That would be one of the things that would pop up in your mind. What about you, Hannah?
I feel like I can agree, and a lot of high schoolers can agree, because we kind of grew up with mass shootings, that's the first thing I thought of. The first thing I thought of when you said school security is like, what's the next provision in schools against school shootings? So, I mean, yeah, school shootings.
Shootings and mental health.
Mm-hmm, and mental health. Shootings and the mental health, and both of those. What about you, Devin?
I was thinking like lockdown procedures and things like that, which mm-hmm. does somewhat relate to school shootings and mm-hmm. such.
Since most of you have grown up with it, I mean, it's kind of commonplace. It's like, well, here we go again. Do you think that you just kind of have a laissez-faire attitude about it because it happens so much and it's like, I don't know. I'm just, what do you think?
I feel maybe some kids do, mm-hmm. but to me, it's kind of sad that that is some kids' attitude towards it, because it's not, I mean, people are dying, It's not a kind of lax kind of, it's just something that happens. I mean, like, it's people's kids' lives kind mm-hmm. of at risk, So I feel it's kind of, I feel most people feel that it's something serious that we need to talk about, but I feel like there is that bunch of kids who are just kind of like, we just have to get over it,
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like there's definitely a level, not apathy towards it, but it's definitely that it's something that we're used to. Like, it's not crazy. When we hear of a school shooting, it's like, oh, okay, there's another one.
Freaked out.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that's, scary is, who's next, kind of, Right. Which is scary because it's not scary when it happens. It's just scary to think about, when is it going to happen, not if it's going to happen,
Yeah.
Because it's just so common nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of kids are wary of it, It's mm-hmm. not like that they're uncaring towards it, because it's mm-hmm. our lives,
But it could sort of be, like a lot of things that have happened in society, that you really don't grasp it till it's in your front yard.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they had that, and that was bad, but that was over there. You know, it was at some distance. It wasn't really right here. And you don't feel, I mean, it's just like the drug movement. You know, we had all these drugs and the opioids and all this that's going on. We know it's happening, but it's not, we're not really confronted with it. Not unless you have a family member or someone directly, you know, connected to you that you can relate to it. What do you think?
I feel like sometimes people feel hopeless, so I kind of like give up and feel like, what's the point? But I would agree that most people are like really about it.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird because it's like in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, this is awful. This is sad, but it's like, it's a, you know, it like outwardly it just feels like, oh, there's another one done. What now, you know? And it's like, it's concerning.
Yeah, it is. It certainly. Why do you believe that schools are such a prime target? I mean, because schools are a real prime target when it comes to this kind of thing.
I mean,
yeah, go right ahead.
Let's say it's a public place. And kinda anyone can enter a school, and everyone has to go to a school at some point. So it's a thing that everyone does. So it's a target because everyone goes there.
I feel like for a couple reasons, I think it's a good place, or like it's a popular place. I don't know. That sounds horrible. Because it is open. Like most campuses are open, so it's easy access. It's a lot of like if it's it's a lot of angst, a lot of problems going on in schools, depending on what level you're at, you know. And also, I feel like it's going to make an impact, or, you know, like when a school shooting happens, you hear about it. So like if someone wants to, you know, whatever the cause may be, they know it's going to like be heard or whatever, you know? And, I feel like it's going to get some sort of message across if you're going
to. Yeah. Well, you know, everyone will be talking about it. That's one thing. If you do, if you commit a school shooting or bombing or whatever it may be, it gets the attention. Okay, you agree, come on.
Yeah, and I feel good, like going along with what Hannah was saying, like that is kind of why a lot of people, and a lot of times it's the kids at the school who are the ones who target it. So of course it's kind of just like, you know, that's where they're gonna go. And then the times it's not, like she said, it would make the big impact and the biggest message we get across, like this is at a school where kids attend, where your kid could attend, you know, that's gonna hit homes for a lot of people when they do that. And that's gonna be their point.
Agree with that.
Yeah, Devin. And I think also it's a lot of people kind of clumped into one area. And like if you were to take a cubicle is like a maze almost, but classrooms are just one big room with some tables. And I feel that also can be a factor in it.
Do you all feel safe at your school?
Kind of.
Well, let me go all around the table and just hear from each one of you, you know, and what are your reservations and what do you, you know, what would you need to feel safe if you don't?
Death. I mean, death is everywhere, so I don't think you'll ever feel, that's okay.
Pretty profound there.
But, I mean, it's... It could always happen, but I trust our school's resource deputy enough, at least, that if something were to happen, I feel most of us would be safe, and that's kind of like the only layer of defense. But and also, our campus is really open.
I was going to say, and it's so, pretty open there, yeah, we, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, like looking at security measures. I don't know, but we'll talk about it. Do you feel safe? How do you feel?
I feel safe. Maybe that's a bit foolish, but it's never crossed my mind.
Okay.
But I mean, maybe a fence might be helpful, and maybe a better way to like check people in. Uh-huh. Send a random person and walk into law.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said you didn't feel safe.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that's blurring the line between a school and a prison. And I think that's what schools are going to end up not turning into a prison, but turning into that level of security at some point because, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel safe at our school because I really do trust our resource officer.
Yeah.
His name is Doug, and he establishes a relationship with a lot of the kids.
Great.
And that makes it more trusting. I think that's a really big factor of that. And I don't really know what could change. I feel like our teachers take good provisions to make sure that, like, the kids are okay, you know, and, mm-hmm. like, if there's something is wrong, that they should be able to talk to them about it, you know. But, like, our campus is open. But although we do have fences around our campus and most of the places, it's just – the location is very open, I feel like, on the street. And I don't know what – could change. The reason I don't feel safe there is because it's just like it happens at every school. It happens at places where there are provisions in place, you know. And right. like so our school could have metal detectors, but that stuff still happens, you know. Like people find mm-hmm. a way around everything.
And, no, that's true.
I feel like that. I don't know. That also, if you put that kind of provisions in place, that can make kids not like feel the same. I don't know, amount of trust that could make it feel yeah. more like a prison rather than a school, and that can make conflict with the kids themselves, you know? I don't know. It's just scary being in the environment, period.
You feel that way too?
Yeah.
Excuse me for interrupting, mm-hmm. but when you say you don't feel safe, I mean, is it something that you are consciously walking around worried about?
I mean, not so much recently, but I know last year, I think – there was a time when I was going through Instagram and a girl posted, like, I think it was her ex-boyfriend or something. And I think uh-huh. it was, like, someone who went to Sale, I think. And then she was like, oh, my God, he was threatening to, like, shoot up a school or something. And I was kind of just like, because of the way that, like, it's a very open campus, as, like, everyone else has said and everything. So to get on campus would be extremely easy. You could just walk on. And kids do all the time. Like, returning students will just kind of walk on from, mm-hmm. like, the bus ramp or something and can just wander around and do whatever they want, pretty much. Kids can walk off campus. Like, it's open. And I know they have been cracking down on, like, I know there's, like, a hall monitor that now walks around and everything mm-hmm. to keep kids in, you know? But mm-hmm. I don't, of course, like they said, the resource officer, he's good and everything. But, like, you know, he's one person. And I'm not saying we have, like, a huge amount of, like, a population, but we have enough kids that, you know, we could take more precautions.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have four dynamic students from Sale High School. Again, I welcome Kamaria Brantley, Hannah Biggs, Devin Doyle, and Jude Countryman. I kind of had to interrupt you. Did you have more that you wanted to share just about, you know, how you felt about being in school? And if not, we can move on, but I didn't know if you had more you wanted to share, Kamaria.
I think that pretty much covered it.
Okay. Why do you all, over the years, and this is during your time in school, we have seen an increase in these shootings. Do you have any feelings, any insights? What do you think is going on that we're seeing an increase in the school? I'll start here, and I'll just go right around the table. Yes, Kamari.
Well, I mean, I have noticed with, like, the increase of school shooting, there's also been an increase of, like, mental health issues. Like, they okay. kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I feel like both of those topics are kind of things that at this point people are kind of just like, it happens, you know, which is sad because instead of just being like, it happens, we should do something to stop it from happening. But, you know, like, if you, like, scroll through Instagram or something, you'll see a lot of kids just like, oh, I'm depressed, I'm this, like, you know. And instead of, it's become such a norm at this, it's almost like it's a trend. You know, like, kids are just kind of, like, school shootings as well kind of just go hand in hand, you know. You see them, and, like, of course, with the Parkland one, it kind of hit close because it was in Florida, you know, and right. it was, like, right. close. Yeah. Right. And the kids came up here to Tallahassee, mm-hmm. you know, so, of course, that one hit close to home. But, you know, in general, the ones after the Parkland one, you haven't really heard about, but they've been happening. They just don't get talked about because they happen so common. It's like
and that's,
norm.
That's what I meant when I was talking about, have we become insensitive? Mm-hmm. Are we apathetic now? Because, like you were just saying, Kamari, they happen. It's not that big a deal.
And
go on.
A lot of the kids, you know, do end up having mental illness. And I'm not saying that's the reason why. And they should, you know, it's fine because they have mental illness. But you'll look back and see that a lot of kids have mental illnesses that just went unheard of, which I noticed a lot of, like, you know, schools are trying to be like, oh, if you have mental illness, you're at risk of harming kids. So we need it. But that's not the way to
but
go
that's,
about it.
But that's, no, that's definitely not. Yeah. Hannah, I'm just going to go around the table.
Feel like there's a lot of factors as to why it's becoming increasing or increased. Like Kamaria said, our generation and like young adults are super like depressed and anxious. I feel like more so than ever. I don't know if that's social media or if that's just pressure. I don't really have to put more thought into it. But like, I don't know. I feel like also, at least our kind of like who high schoolers right now have kind of not, I don't know if they've become apathetic to it, but in order to kind of like maybe process it, it's kind of like it's a thing, you know? Like on social media, it's like, oh, that kid looks like a school shooter. Like it can turn into a joke easily because okay. I feel like that's maybe how kids react. Mm-hmm. Cope with it or mm-hmm. rationalize it.
Okay.
So or if it's because it's just because it's so common that it's not crazy anymore, but like I feel like that's also we see it so much in the media that it becomes like media focuses on it when it happens, so it becomes more normalized because it's the mm-hmm. really really reported on, so the media like over I don't say like overhypes it, but like, you know, it's like super super talked about and then everyone's like, oh wow, another one. I don't know if that really makes sense, but also with our current like federal administration, mm-hmm. since it's so polarized, I feel like people can get stuck on, well, it's either mental illness or gun control or whatever, but it's like, it's just kids dying. Mm-hmm. And
just kids dying.
That can, I think that makes it more into like some, it turns into a political thing where I understand that it can be.
I know it does, and not to interrupt you, but when I look at you all, I don't see Democrat or Republican, you know? So when it comes to kids, I mean, yes, I understand we're very polarized, okay? But we're talking about kids now. I mean, that doesn't make any difference what your, you know, political affiliation or ideology or whatever it may be. That doesn't make any difference. I don't know. That's just where I'm sitting, and I think that. What difference does it make? There aren't Democrat kids and Republican kids or independent kids. They're kids.
Yeah.
I mean, on you.
Oh, boy. I think it is multiple factors.
Okay.
We live in a high-stress world. Mm-hmm. You want to get the best job. You want to get the best strains, mm-hmm. and it can be a lot, and it can cause people's mental health to deteriorate. I also feel like people are somehow getting access to weapons, and easily maybe, and I don't really know how that's happening, but it seems like all these shootings and shootings are happening, and I'm like, where are all these guns coming
from? You raised a good point. That's something I had written down and said we needed to talk about. But, Devin, where do you sit? And in addition to, you know, why there's an increase, what role do you think that guns play? I mean, the United States have reported a 450% increase of school shootings in the last 30 years. I mean, that's incredible to me. 450%? So do you think guns play a role? And the reason I say that is when we look at the role of guns that have played, a lot of them were legal. Okay, you were always talking about illegal guns, get them off the streets. But these guns were not illegal guns. They may have taken them from their parents or whatever, but they were legal anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, like everyone else said, it's so many factors. It's almost too hard for me to pin. And for guns, I mean, I remember, I think it was a Sandy Hook guy. He had stolen it, and he went on a rampage.
He got it from his mom. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you know, in the Sandy Hook kid, he bought his own gun, and that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That he just kind of was like, let me get one. And his parents were, oh, we'll just take it away from him, and he won't do anything bad with it.
Like, yeah, his mom, he lived with his mom. Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to, like, kill something, if there's a will, there's a way.
That's true.
And if they really want to go through with that, you know, and I feel guns make it a lot easier. It's, you know, it's really dark. I don't mean to be so dark and gloomy.
No, but it's a dark topic.
No, yeah. No, it is. It really is. But and all of you are right, because it is multifaceted, okay? It's a number of things. It's mental health. It's stress. It's pressure. It's access, you know, to guns. Do you support? What is the answer? I mean, is gun control, and I know this is very controversial, but I'm just throwing this out there to you. Is gun control the answer, particularly when all these folks got guns legally? So what do we do? And I don't know that you have the answer, but you have suggestions, yes.
I feel like I don't want to say it's just guns. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like if we reformed some things, it may cut back mm-hmm. on the amount mm-hmm. of tragedies that are happening.
I feel like it's definitely not just guns, like Jude said, but I feel like, for example, the guns that are kind of the mass shooter school, you know, of choice is some kind of automatic gun.
Yeah.
And I remember when, I don't know if it was right after Parkland happened or what shooting, but people were saying, like, you can't have the bump stocks, I think is what it's called.
Yeah,
it was Parkland. Mm-hmm. Because that's what, you know, make them automatic, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know much about guns, but that is an issue, I feel like. It's not even necessarily how many guns are, like, available or whatever. I just feel like it's – no one should have an automatic weapon. Mm-hmm. If it's – I feel like in AK-14 –
AK-47, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. I don't – thank you for correcting me. I was wary.
You knew it was AK-something.
Yeah, I knew it was AK-something. I feel like automatic weapons shouldn't be in the hands of, like, teenagers. Because I don't know, is it 18 or 21 for guns?
It's 18 for rifle, 17 for shotgun. No, or excuse me, 16 for rifle, 17 for shotgun, 18 for pistol.
16? Like years old?
For like mm-hmm. a rifle. Not like – I don't think it's like a AR-15.
AR, no.
Yeah,
no,
5.56, but like – you could get, like, a hunting rifle probably, something like that.
I don't know. I think that's crazy. Yeah. I feel like – I mean, also, I don't know, kids that have mental illness, that should be part of it. I think it should have more, like, you know, background, something to deal with both sides of it. It's not mm-hmm. just guns.
I feel like there is no clear answer. Exactly. I feel like it's going to be – it just not impossible, but it's not just going
to
happen.
Like everything needs
and
to
like
change.
And like even the mental, and I'll get to you in one mm-hmm. second. Even the mental illness, yeah. Does that mean that you're mentally ill forever? If I was depressed, pardon me, 2 months ago, and I'm doing fine now, and I've been taking my medication, and I'm not having any problem, does that mean that I can never have a gun? I mean, that's something to think about. You aren't mentally ill all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we factor that in? How do we factor the person who's stabilized?
I feel like there should just be general provisions, you know, that kind of apply for everyone nonetheless, that are to a certain extent that you should be able to, like, I don't know exactly, like, the options, but, like, just something that, like, everyone can do, but it can, like, sort out the people that maybe shouldn't have a gun. Or, I don't know, but.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean.
Yeah.
Kamari, I know you had some comments.
I was going to say, you know, I don't, like Devin was saying, I don't think there is, like, a simple solution. I think first, of course, it should be, they should make it harder for kids to get their hands on guns, because you'll notice, like, they'll just walk into a store and be like, hey, and, like, be able to get a gun, or, like, it'll be their parents' gun or something. And that, you know, is a problem. And I feel you could say they could just restrict guns, you know, like, make it harder. But one, you know, people always hunting and everything, like, don't take away my gun, tell people I with that. And also, you know, like, what's I about to say? You know, I just totally lost my train of thought.
That's all right. It'll come back. When it comes back, just add it. One of the statistics, I'll get right to you, that I read about was that over 74% of the education-related threats were at the middle and high schools. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just an interesting statistic.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do have something you want to share?
And then I lost it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, as we talk about school security and school safety, we also have to add bullying into it, because that is a big factor, and we're seeing bullying more and more. Have any of you experienced bullying? Do you mind sharing it? And, you know, how did we address that? Because bullying is a big problem.
I have been bullied for my disability. Mm-hmm. I knew bullying. It was in my middle school, elementary school, and shootings are less common. But
what was the question?
Well, have you ever been bullied? Did you experience? How did you handle it?
I did it really. I had a support system, and I knew that I was valued, and I am a human being, and I kind of dealt with it because I've been disabled my whole life. So anything you say about me, I've heard it before. So I did it. It was a moment, and then it was done.
Any other comments?
I mean, I've been bullied before from, like, kindergarten to third grade. I went to Rudiger, which is a mostly black school, and I was one of the only white kids there, and I heard a lot of words that I can't say on radio.
And from kindergarten to third grade?
From kindergartners and, like, first and second graders. And it's wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That is crazy.
I had to think about that when you said it. Yeah. That's why I asked you.
And it's not really, like, related to anything. It's just, it's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just weird.
How did you handle it at that point?
I got used to it. Maybe I shouldn't say this. I hit a kid one time. I think I kneed him in the stomach or something. Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of stopped after that. I switched schools in third grade, so I don't remember it super vividly, but it did happen for a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I was never, like, movie bullied, where, like, you're thrown against a locker or something like that, or, you know, but, like, I definitely experienced being, like, left out often, because in elementary school I was very bossy, and I was very, I don't know, more masculine, I think, than the other girls in my grade. And I think that kind of threw people off about me, and I was very opinionated from a very young age because of my dad's very opinionated, and I got that from him. And I think that was not common for a young girl, I think. So I kind of was fitting out of the gender standard, and I think that caused problems with other people that were my friends that were girls would be like, that's not a girl thing to do. Like, I don't know. And like, I would dress more tomboy. And when I cut my hair, some people were like, that's weird. Are you a lesbian now? And I'm like, so that's not how that works. And I've had a lot of problems with like that, but mm-hmm. it wasn't really bullying, just kind of not fitting like the standard, you know? Mm-hmm. So like the outcast thing is kind of, I feel like something that school shooters are under, not just bullying, but like feeling outcasted, you know? And in like my middle school, I drifted towards like the emo kids, and I was made fun of for that, you know? So I don't know.
How did you handle this?
I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more comfortable with myself, you know, mm-hmm. and I've spent a long time trying, or I've come, like, in the past year or so, I've kind of come to the realization that, like, I don't need to fit in a label. Because for, like, my whole life, I was trying to be, like, am I bisexual? Am I, you know, transgender or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never could really figure out one. So I've kind of just learned to be comfortable enough with myself that, like, I don't have to be anything. I can mm-hmm. literally just be whatever I want to be. So, you know, that's kind of how I handled it. I think I was mature enough to realize, like, other kids have their own problems, and it's not always, like, my fault that they're being rude to me, you know? And yeah. I was able to kind of interpret that, and I don't know. It made me grow as a person, so it wasn't really that.
Let me get to Kamaria, right, and then I'll come back. That's all right.
I don't – like Candace said, I haven't really been bullied ever. Like, I've been teased, you know, how kids are very, you know, opinionated, you know? And it kind of goes the same way.
Hold your thoughts. Okay. We're going to take a quick break.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? Kabaria, you may continue.
Yeah, so I haven't really ever been bullied. Like, you know, kids, I mean, they tease people, and that's pretty much as far as it's gone.
Well, where do you draw the line? That's a good point that you raised. Where do you draw the line between being teased and being bullied? When does it, you know, become too much?
I think a lot of kids would be like, if they're your friend, it's teasing. If they're not your friend and they go out of their way, it's bullying.
That's a good point.
And also, you know, it's kind of where you draw the line with that. And I think, you know, a lot of people like to say if it's repeated, then it's bullying, you know. But I feel saying that, you know, someone could, you know, cuss you out or go out of their way to, like, trip you or something. And if it's just once, you know, it's not bullying. I mean, it's kind of hard. I feel you can kind of tell if someone is just teasing you as a friend and kind of just picking on you slightly, kind of just like, huh. But, you know, in the end of the day, you can tell that your friend, or if they're just blatantly being mean and rude to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to be aware of who you're hanging out with and who your friends are at that point, you know, which I think a lot of kids struggle with, kind of, who your friends are in the end of the day. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between.
Okay, let me.
Hi, Michael. And you said, outcast. Kind of become shooters, and I know, like, Sarah is kind of the outcast itself, and I was wondering, do you think that makes a smaller ally?
I was thinking about mentioning that, but I didn't want to because it's kind of an unspoken thing that I don't know. That's like, you know, Sail Kids. I feel
Sail
like
Kids are great. Yes,
they are great. They really are great, and they're more opinionated, and they're more, you know, open, and
they're
mindful.
Think out of the box.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Like because of the reputation that Sail has, a lot of kids come to Sail because they were bullied and because they didn't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes our school population different. Mm-hmm. And I think that not necessarily makes us more susceptible to school shootings, but I think it, for me, it crosses my mind more often than I think other schools. So although our population is smaller, and I know everyone by face, I don't know everyone by name at Sale, but I know everyone's face, you know, and I know who is supposed to be there and who's not, you know, and I know when someone's having an off day or not. But, like, a lot of kids there, I would say, have depression issues or anxiety, you know. Maybe – I'm sure not more so than other campuses, but just because our campus is – like, our population is smaller, so it's more apparent. And I don't know if it's more susceptible, but it's definitely – it. I don't know. It adds to it.
It's there.
I also wanted to add on to what Kamara was saying about the line between bullying and teasing because when I'm a junior this year. My freshman year, I had my first few friends at Sale. They're still my friends now, but they were like my only friends at Sale at the time. They used to bully me pretty often, but it wasn't like bullying. It was teasing. So I cut my hair when I was a freshman. I used to have really long hair, and I shaved my head when I was a freshman. And then immediately the like dyke joke started coming out, and I was like, okay, like, ha ha ha, like, no, but that's fine. But I was already having like internal problems with my like sexuality and my gender more specifically, and that kind of made me feel like why does it matter? And like that kind of drew into my sophomore year. My sophomore year, like, they always tease me about how I've been told that I'm easy to tease because I'm very passionate. So a lot of people tease me often, and a lot of people don't like me, which is okay. But I have a very, like, strong personality, I guess. And I had to stop talking to them as much because it not necessarily was making a big impact on me, but it was just annoying. And it was like, how old are you, you know? I don't know. And I think another thing is that people – kids can sometimes be caught up in the line if it's, like, physical or not, which I've never experienced physical bullying. And I don't know, I don't think that's super common, but I've never seen it either. But I feel like it's not always just physical, and that we should be more conscious about like what's a joke and what's not a joke. Because while kids can be mean and tease a lot, it is, I think, hard to distinguish the difference between what's okay and what's not okay.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and I wanted to add, and I feel like in this day and age, like since pretty much, you know, like in our generation, like physical bullying isn't much as a problem as cyberbullying, which is hard to touch on, like, because so the thing about social media in this day and age is there's a lot of people who are all don't get butthurt, don't be a troll, all that, but then also freedom of speech, you know, and it's kind of like when like cancel each other out, like, because at one point someone would just want to go off and do what they want to, like, say what they want to say, because, you know, it's 2018, you can say what you want, you know, it's in the past, you know, like, you can be able to say what you want, but at the same time they don't know when to not, like, it's just so. And I think cyberbullying, because, you know, if someone's like, hey, that wasn't cool, you can't say that, they'll be like, it's 2018, you know, let it go, it doesn't matter, you know. And so a lot of times kids might not know when it's cyberbullying and when it's not, you know. It's just like online teasing, I don't know,
it's
what you call it,
it's
like
much
teasing,
more insidious.
Yeah, and so I feel, you know, that should be, because, you know, we watched recently in school, like, a video about bullying, and it's kind of like, and it was a really old video, you could tell, and it's kind of like, that's not the problem with kids now. It's like, mainly cyberbullying. I feel like if anyone's going to bully, it's going to be cyberbullying.
Okay.
It's a lot easier to insult someone, just type a little paragraph on a computer, press enter, and just leave and not think about
and
it again.
Yeah, there's no real interaction with it. Yeah.
Sorry. No one can really see you do it.
That's it.
And I don't know what's happening. And if you're a parent, you may not know that your kid is being attacked on the internet.
Okay.
When I was that cyberbullying, I totally didn't even think about that. But when I was running for SGA president, I experienced a little bit of cyberbullying from some other kids.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to me. I was
like, some of your friends would be really mean to me because they wanted you to win. We both ran for president last year.
I know what you're talking about.
And a lot of the people that wanted him to win were being really mean to me online, and it was really unfortunate.
I didn't know about that.
And but like, yeah, I've experienced that sometimes. I don't know. Cyberbullying doesn't feel as like personal for me. I feel like I've just always been teased, so I'm just kind of like immune to it at this point. I'm just like, yeah, okay.
which you know, kind of that's the thing. I think people are insensitive in this day and age, but also sensitive at the same, like, if that makes sense, like, which is and plays into the whole, like, our school security and also mental health, you know? Like, there are a lot of kids who will have these type of, like issues, you know, but then be the first to, like, tease someone or bully someone or, like, say something insensitive. And it's kind of just, like, how do you not get it, you know? Like, if you wouldn't want that to be said to you, why would you say it to someone else, you know? And, like, I think I remember what you're talking about, Anna, with the whole thing about you guys running and everything. And I don't remember seeing, like, them being mean, but, like, I remember seeing people kind of attacking each other over something like that, you know? And it's just, like, a kind of friendly competition in the end. Like, you know, it's a school election, you know? And in the end of the day, like, you know, whoever won, won, you know? And it, I just... You know, and I remember one of the kids I feel who I saw do it, I think, or I've seen kind of do that kind of stuff before. He's posted before, like, I'm so sad, I'm so this, you know, and it's kind of like, if you're that sad and everything and emotional and, like, you feel they wouldn't be the first to tease someone like that, but they are, you know. So I feel cyberbullying is definitely a bigger issue, and I don't, that's another thing about, you know, I feel like, you know, kids, teachers, in with the school shooting thing, they want to, you know, if you have mental illness, you're at risk for shooting schools, but they're not like, you're at risk for harming yourself or, you know, and I think that they should be more, because I remember we were talking, we were talking about an article in class one day about how that's what they're like, taking all the kids who, okay, so when you sign up for school, you put down if you have a mental illness, and then immediately you're putting in a group for at-risk school shooters. That's not the way to go it, you know.
That's
like,
happening at schools now. They've implemented that as a provision, but that's just making it like a blacklist for for kids, you know. Which, and that was
Which in the end, you know, a kid like if they see that on their like school, you know, list, whatever, they're gonna be like, I don't want them to know that. And those could be the kids who are at risk, you know. And obviously, there are a lot of kids who aren't gonna say anything. The kids that are quiet, who just sit off by themselves, who don't necessarily hang out with anyone, those could be the most at risk kids for like anything, you know. I'm not only talking school shootings to harm themselves, you know, but they're not gonna be the ones to just come out and be like, I have depression, I have anxiety, you know, like so. And that's just, like, not the way to go about it, you know? And, of course, they're going to be the kids who post online and everything. But in the end of the day, teachers just have to, and, like, in general, kids have to be more aware of everyone around them and watching out for kids for online bullying and everything, like, physical bullying, which I feel in this day and age, kids kind of get, you know, called out on if you ever see someone doing, like, that doesn't
never
really
happen.
There are cameras.
Yeah.
Well, do you think we're at a time where we need to monitor students' Facebook and monitor students' Twitter accounts for bullying, for guns, for bombs, for threats? I mean, what do we do? Because often folks have posted on their Facebook accounts that they were going to do this or they had a gun. So I just throw that out there. Yes, Devin.
Well, like Hannah said before, I don't want school to feel like a prison. I don't want to feel like I have to, you know, this is my personal life. You know, here's where I'm going. Here's what I'm doing. And it's like, I had something really interesting I was going to say and then I forgot. But, yeah, it's a personal thing. I don't want all this, like, the teachers to know what I'm doing. And it's like... I don't know, man.
But see, you know what I don't understand, and you all can, I'll get to you in a second, can, you know, educate me. Why is it necessary to put everything on Facebook? To take a picture of the food you're eating? Or, I mean, you know, why is that? I know I'm old school, so you all hit me. But it just seems like, why you put everything on Facebook in the first place?
I think it's just kind of I don't know, because I'm one to do that. Just randomly pull out when I'm at dinner, pull out my phone, go on Snapchat, take a picture. I'm never even gonna post it. Oh. I'm gonna be the only one who sees it, but I just feel the need
but that's
to
different.
Take it. Okay, but like
but that's different.
Yeah, but I'll be scrolling through Instagram and it'll just like I know kids who post like food or whatever, but I'll see a girl post this huge paragraph about how sad she is, and I'm like. And no one comments. People still like it. And I'm just like, so y'all are seeing it. You guys are seeing the post and liking it, which me is kind of just like, okay, I don't care. Like, it boggles my mind to see kids post that kind of stuff. Like, one, I'm not one to just be outward with my emotions like that. Be like, I'm sad today. Like, I'm not one to do that, like, ever, you know? And that's just my preference. And so when I see kids do that, I'm kind of like, it's kind of confusing. But then to see kids then like the post or and just be going on, like, scrolling through their feed, like, okay, yeah, they're sad. Oh, well. Like, it's just the norm now to just be so outward. And, like, I feel like kids are, you know, if they're not on social media, let's say, or they don't post on social media, it's kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, that's what everyone's doing. Why aren't you doing it? And it's kind of a trend, like I said earlier, for kids to be outward with their emotions and be like, I'm sad. I need it. And it's not, I'm not saying it's attention seeking. I feel maybe that's some kids' motive, but maybe that's their way of coping. I don't know. But it's just a trend now. So if one person does it, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel – okay. A couple of things. So your original question about if should they be monitoring social media.
Yeah, we're having all these issues. I mean, lots of times it's on – you know, someone has said something on Facebook or on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You hear that after the fact. Yeah, they posted such and such. We didn't think anything about it. I'm just trying to – identify ways that we can expose potentially harmful individuals or elements. I don't know. I'm just wondering, is that an option?
I feel like, okay, so there's a couple things there. One is that, like, students kind of already call out each other when they see, like, major stuff. Because at Trials in Lincoln, a post goes viral within the community if someone's like, I'm going to shoot, don't come to school tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and people are going to be like, oh my God, did you see that post, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, they'll show the school or the school will somehow get to it because everyone knows about it, you know? Like, that's happened at Trials, I think, probably Lincoln too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know if schools should be, like, monitoring kids because, like, that's it's kind of, you're putting it on social media, so is it personal, you know? Like, if it's not, but I don't know. I think there's also kids who say stuff like, I'm sad and I'm going to shoot up at school because they're like, they want attention, which is like not good to say. But I feel like a lot of kids will post something because they want attention. And it's like, okay, are you actually, you know? But then that sucks. You have to be like, are you actually? Because I don't know. It draws, it makes that feel bad. But I feel like we have to share, or I feel like a lot of kids our age feel like that we have to share a lot of things because I mentioned this in our SJ class this morning about how our generation is like was raised with social media, so we've always been connected to everyone always, and that makes us want that, like, makes us anxious to keep that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And also, our generation and millennials, I think it might be millennials too, millennials in general, are used to instant gratification, and that causes a lot of problems with, like, the connectiveness, you know.
Well, I got a couple questions. We only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to talk about what we need to do in schools to make you feel even more secure, more safe. And I guess one question was digital surveillance. I mean, by that, I mean the security cameras and, you know, closed circuit TVs. Some schools have those. Do you think that that is an answer or that? Yes.
I don't. I don't think it's an answer to a lot. Like, it's helpful to have, but a lot of bullying is verbal.
Mm-hmm.
You can always tell what's happening
from the camera.
Also, like, cameras are super helpful when shooting situation for that reason. And I don't know if there's anything that anyone can do to, like, make us feel safer. Because, like, we're in this now. It's not going away.
I was going to say at SAIL and at Godby, they have a thing called Green Dot. And Green Dot is basically teaching the student, like, bystander situations to be able to say something to either someone else or say something, you know. And teaching kids to speak up for other people or at least speak up, you know, if they see something wrong or whatever. I think that's probably where you should be working at is, like, tell the students, like, if you see something wrong, say something, you know, to teach them what's wrong and what's not, you know, so that it's not solely dependent on the school to keep everything all right. And the other thing is, like, our school didn't really take that seriously. Like, they have Green Dot, like, it's kind of like an anti-bullying program, but it's meant for bystanders to make an impact. But if kids don't take it seriously, like, at our school, then it's not going to make an impact. So,
Yeah, and like, honest, I didn't even know that this what Green Dot was about, because I feel like if that's what it was about, it's only offered to a few kids. Like, not everyone goes to it. I haven't ever gone to it. And
they wanted to, the reason that that is kind of like that is because I was one of the first people they talked to when they came to Sale, is because they want to talk to the kids that had the most social clout, I would say. So it would like reach other people.
We're at the end. You know, see, we had a great time. You all will have to come back. Many thanks to you and to my listening audience. I thank you for your time and your ear. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. The 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.